Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Welcome to Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0, episode 141, coming your way. This is going to be a fun one, an entertaining one. This is going to be one that you're going to want to just sit back and enjoy. And we're going to talk about this one. It's going to be a good banter episode, but it's also going to be very educational. We're going to kind of lay out some of the things that's going on here. And the topic is my life really better on the sauce? And this is going to be a part one by Europharma. So look, Monster and I, we're going to go over five things that a steroid user noticed when they use steroids. And we're going to talk about why they felt that way. And we're going to just have some fun with it and go over what each scenario means. So let's jump right into it, Monster. The first one is, I get more pussy than ever. I'm going to let you take this one first.
So yesterday, after the recording we did yesterday, Steve and I talked about today's show, and I said it's kind of weird, Laura. Back when I first used any steroids, which was Dynabols, we covered on other shows, I kind of asked myself the question as to, will it change how I felt? The job I was doing at the time, Steve, involved sometimes being confrontational with members of the public that were upset because of the job that I was doing. And I have a sort of self-aware insofar as that, you know, I'm going to be doing this Diana Bowl. Would it make me more aggressive? Would it make me more whatever? And I have sort of tried to make sure that I wasn't going to suddenly turn into some kind of steroid monster because I'm going to be dealing with people that are upset and irate and perhaps get angry myself, maybe more so because of steroids. So one of the things I said to Steve yesterday is it's kind of weird. I think I've had more arse, as I put it to Steve yesterday, without using steroids. I'm probably more focused on my training and more focused on the targets that I set for myself with my training when I'm on cycle versus being more relaxed and chilled out and perhaps more sociable. So I would actually say for myself, and you've got to remember, my first cycle wasn't until I was 37. But the thread that's inspired this podcast today, the person is 23. So I've got to put myself in a 23-year-old's shoes. I don't think I was getting that much ass at 23, Steve. I did really well in my 30s, and ironically, probably the most well in terms of getting ass, etc., when I came up here to South Wales. And neither of those times was when I was on cycle. I was always off cycle, more relaxed, more sociable, more likely to go out, and so on and so forth. I can imagine. And this is the thing, this whole idea of how it feels to like, how it feels to be on testosterone. And especially, and I want to cover this point in detail, Steve, how transformative it can be for a small percentage of users. If you respond very well, if you are ironically perhaps low to middle testosterone levels in a normal range, and you add something that takes you above the low to middle range, for some users, their level of confidence, the way that they feel, the way that they view the world can be transformative. For most people, it's not. It's a hormone that you've already got in your system. It's a hormone that you're already present. But something that Steve and I have discussed, occasionally touched upon on these shows when we talked about nature, is we don't always appreciate as human beings just how hormonal we are. We know that estrogen makes some people really upset and tearful, and that's men, never mind women. So we also appreciate that some guys, and again, women, when they go on testosterone, they kind of sort of want to grab the world by the balls. And there's an argument to be made, Steve, that perhaps there's a couple of views. One is perhaps just more confident talking to women, more likely to talk to more women, and therefore more likely to score. But also there might be an argument, pheromones, etc., which especially in the younger ladies, he's 23 years old again, that might just be unconsciously picking up on the higher testosterone levels. And in fact, I will go so far as to, I've seen the studies, I've seen some of the research, I've read some of the articles back in the day, which is that there's an argument to be made for women, especially younger women, that are perhaps fertile, not necessarily being attractive to the guy that they're going to settle down with and have children with and build a nest and build a home, but perhaps being more attractive to the risk taker, the aggressive, the sexually out there kind of person. Whether he's actually getting more arsey for more pussy is a whole nother question. What's your thoughts on him getting more pussy?
A lot of times people who brag about how much pussy they get, they don't get any. Like, think about it. Like, you know, who does that? You know, who does that? Like, think about in high school.
It was I was going to say school kids, teenagers, but yeah. not adults. No.
A lot of times women and men, there's a lot of pressure to have sex, and there's just as much pressure on women or more pressure on women than men. So a lot of women will lie and say, yeah, I'm having sex, whatever. At a young age, they'll say, yeah, I'm having sex with the college football player, just to impress their friends. And men will do the same thing. And it's weird. It's a weird thing, especially your generation, Mobster, because back then sex was a taboo thing. You grew up with sex being a taboo thing. Oh, you're not supposed to have sex till you're married and all this stuff. So by having sex, you're showing your rebellious side. Now it's not so much. Now the younger guys aren't having sex very much. A lot of younger men, they still live with their parents at a much later age. They're not able to move out on their own. So what we're seeing that trend because of the housing costs being so high. So what's happening is people are having less and less sex, and it's not a taboo thing to have sex because it's all over the place. I mean, you can look up porn on the internet. It takes you 2 seconds to look up porn on the internet. There's movies with sex, and movies, shows have sex. It's just like it's not a taboo thing anymore. So there's no fun in it, you know, like it used to be. When you grow up, sex was taboo, pot was taboo. Now it's just like, who gives a shit, you know? Like, it doesn't mean nothing. So I think that's part of it. And a lot of times people just brag about how much pussy they get, and it's considered like, oh, I get all this pussy, that makes me a man. I'm not impressed. Mobster's definitely not impressed. Like, dude, it's like, who cares that you get pussy? It doesn't really impress me. I think it's more of, like, I think a lot of people, too, they're in the closet, you know? And the people that brag, or the people that say, oh, I hate gay people, or I hate, you know, feminine men and all this stuff. I think almost all, I used to work at a computer store, and what was interesting is people would bring in their computers. This was back in the late 90s when I was in high school. People used to bring in their computers that wouldn't work anymore because they were riddled with viruses, because people would go watch porn. It was funny because I'd see these websites for like religion, and I'd see these websites for like gay bashing websites and all this stuff. And then also I would see that they were looking at gay porn. So it's like, dude, you know, it's like you almost hate yourself. So it's like you have to just like kind of like project that type of mentality. It's just so funny. So anytime you see people bashing gay people, or you know, bashing someone for being feminine, or calling someone, oh, you're not an alpha, all in all, they're actually projecting on themselves. They're the ones that are the betas. They're the ones that are, you know what I'm saying? So that's the funny thing. Yeah, you gotta be, you know, if you're a gay man, you gotta be comfortable in your own skin and say, yeah, yes. Don't pretend to be a straight guy and bash gay people, because that means
Steve,
that
we used to have a comedy show over here, and there was the name of which the comedian would come to, Harry Enfield, and one of Harry Enfield's characters, together with a female actress, their punchline, their tagline, if you like, was, I am considerably richer than you, and it was said in a certain particular way. And obviously the clincher was at the end of the series, when they stopped doing the show, the very last few episodes, they meet someone who's a billionaire, and it kind of embarrasses them. So there's this thing, and I've been around quote unquote alpha type males in a male masculine situation, all men working together. Unfortunately, perhaps because I'm the older brother of four boys, there's an argument, I think, where I was already mature in that way and kind of comfortable with myself. So we'd have occasional conversations where the guys are joshing with each other. This is just waiting to finish work or to get paid. Or even obviously on the odd occasion when we went to the pub and you'd sit there. And of course, what do blokes do? They brag. You try to big yourself up. You try to be the leader of the pack and so on and so forth. And occasionally, I'm reminded of one story very quickly, which was a black buddy of ours, very nice fella. And my nickname at the factory was Kimo, short for Kimosabe. Don't ask me why, that's just how it ended up being. So, Kimo, how come I never see you with a woman? So I joked that I was taking my time. I says, you're getting all your ass up front. And at some point in a year or so, you'll be pushing the pram down the street with the missus and she'll be pregnant with the second kid. And that's your last piece of ass right there. Whereas I'm going to be getting ass for the rest of my life. So it was the bravado, it was the bragging, the kind of in front of your mates, trying to make yourself stand out, trying to make yourself sound secure. Once you realize that, then as Steve says, you start to get into, if you're comfortable with yourself, do you go out and say, I've got more money in my wallet than you have? My shoes are shinier than yours are. The brand of clothing I wear is better than your brand of clothing. It's all about insecurity. The richest, the strongest, the most sexual, whatever. You tend to know it without them needing to tell you. You could tend to see it for yourself and so on. So when someone says, I get more pussy than ever, congratulations. Do you want a medal? It's kind of that weird situation, Steve. When I was getting lots of ass, I wasn't going around telling everybody I was getting lots of ass. I was just fucking enjoying it. I was too damn busy getting ass to tell everybody how much ass I was getting.
Yeah.
And I also think, Steve, there's a kind of like peaks and troughs in life. Sometimes you are quote unquote busy, and sometimes you are not. And because I've lived longer than most of the listeners, I appreciate that there's been times when I've quote unquote
Yeah.
been busy.
There's dry
Yeah. So,
spells and
if
there's
it was
yeah.
nonstop, Steve, it'd be a different conversation. Look at you and I discussed a famous basketball player who did the book where he talks about having 11,000 sexual partners. And people actually worked out he would have had to have been with one every 15 minutes. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's just ridiculous sometimes.
And
So, sold the book.
yeah, and on the
Magic
flip
Johnson,
side,
if I remember.
yeah, on the flip side, I've definitely noticed in the past, I'd be dating someone and then I'd be on cycle and she'd be really into me and then I'd stop my cycle and she would not be into me anymore. So women can sense those, you
Yes,
mentioned it earlier, the
the
pheromones.
pheromones, yeah, the
Yeah,
testosterone, how
it's
you feel.
true. Like, and if you have like a lot of testosterone, they'll notice that, but over time that kind of fades, and they're gonna dig on, look under the hood more and say, you know what? In that particular instance, that girl wanted to get married and wanted to have kids right away because her younger sister got married and was having a kid. So she was like, oh my God, she's in a panic. She's like, I need to get married and have kids. And I was like, no, I'm not interested in getting married anytime soon. I'm sorry. And she basically lost interest in me for that reason, went on to date a new dude, and she went and married him. And now I'm sure she lives happily ever after. So let's go to the next one. I feel a purpose when I wake up in the morning. So let me start this one off, Mobster, and I'll let you in. Look, when I first ran my first steroid cycle, I just wanted, it hit me like a ton of bricks, okay? Those androgens are flowing through your body, that testosterone is flowing in your body. You got all that excess male hormone that your brain doesn't know what to do with. So your brain is like wired now. So all I want to do, I'd wake up every morning. The first thing on my mind was eat. I wanted to eat. The next thing on my mind is I wanted to lift. And then I come home from the gym and I want to eat again. So I basically wake up, I make like a bison burger or some eggs or something like that. Then I'd save the leftovers for when I got back from the gym, reheat it, boom, I'd have another meal. Then I was dating a couple girls at the time. But I got two or three girls I was dating at the time, and I'd rotate them. They didn't know about each other. It wasn't any type of exclusive relationship or anything. I was just dating them. We're casually dating. And later on in the afternoon, I'd invite one over. You'll go at it. Then I take her to lunch. Then we come back and we go at it again. So it was just like all I wanted to do all day was eat, fuck, and eat. Eat, fuck, and work out. I'm sorry. Eat, fuck, work out. That's it. You know, and that's all you're gonna want to do. So that's not sustainable long term. Because in the process, I wasn't working as much as I should have during that time. So my work suffered. So if your purpose is waking up in the morning and you just wanna fuck, lift, and eat, then I can see where you're coming from on this. But over time, as your brain gets wired to get used to those androgens, you're not gonna feel that way. So in this particular instance, this is a young guy. And I don't care if you're 23, 28, 40, 45. If you get on hormones or you're taking an excessive amount of hormones, you're going to feel like you're 16, 17 again. The same thing. You're going to be just like you wanting to do all this stuff all the time. Your hormones are going crazy and you're going to have this feeling. But over time, the more you use steroids, I do this all this time to my clients, the more you use steroids, two, three, four, five cycles. You get used to those excess androgens, so you're not gonna feel like this anymore. So it may take a couple cycles for you to shake that off, but that's what this person is experiencing. He's definitely experiencing the change in hormones, and it's making him feel that purpose when he wakes up in the morning. And that's kind of the point. I actually told used to always tell people when you run a steroid cycle, and it's a really serious steroid cycle, and you really invest a lot of time and money. You really want to make sure during that cycle you don't have shit going on. Like, you don't have to take a trip. You don't have a busy work schedule. You're not going through a divorce. You're not going through drama at home. You can just focus. Your kids aren't out of school where you got to babysit them all day. You can focus on your cycle. That's where you get the best results from. So, this is very, very important. But at the end of the day, is your education suffering? Is your work life suffering? Is your family life suffering? I've seen this over the years, Monster. More so when I was an endurance athlete, because endurance training is much more time consuming than weight training in most situations. But bodybuilding, once you start competing in bodybuilding, it can get very, very much an issue because you got to travel, you got to do expos, you got to do all this other shit. So it can really take a hit on your family life. So you've got to have your priorities in line, and you want to open your life up to run this cycle and really enjoy the cycle to get the most out of it. Go ahead, Monster.
Yeah, look, there's two ways of looking at this, Steve. One is arguably that when we felt we were at our best in life, when we performed sexually, financially, athletically, or whatever else, may well have been, statistically speaking, for most men and to some degree women as well, when perhaps we were at our strongest, biggest, most muscular. And this is naturally. And part of that would include optimal te testosterone levels, optimal estrogen levels, literally our health and our hormones and everything is just working real good. And that's when we're out there grabbing the world by the balls and succeeding in life. If we've got a business, if we're kicking ass in college or university, if we're employed. I've said in terms of my strength, regardless of steroids, I think I was at my physical peak in my 40s, 40 to mid 40s, back when I lived in Gloucester before I came here. And that's when I was competing the most. That's when I was, I probably neglected the business and social relationships perhaps too much. But that's when I made quote unquote my name, such as it is. And that's kind of part there of life as well. So there's just, that's so that I think is actually something that probably occurs to most people, perhaps not at 23 years of age, but that's by the by. On steroids, and here's a thing that I've talked about as well. So the idea that you jump out of bed in the morning with more of a purpose because you're using steroids, because you are on the source, as the topic title was called. Maybe, but here's the thing. If you want the best results from your training, if you want the best results from your diet, and you've dropped 500, 600, 700, 900, even $1,000 on the cycle, then you just want to get your best bang for your buck. You want to, you've invested, especially when you're 23 years of age, Steve, $1,000, still a decent lump of cash to drop on a cycle. Then goddamn, I want results. Goddamn, I want to make sure that I'm killing it in the gym. And if I really focus on my training and if I really focus on my diet, I'm going to get amazing results, especially when you're using neuropharmacy products. We've talked about this on other shows. However, key here is to be that way when you're not on cycle. keep your gains by being on point with your diet. Keep your gains, or as much of your gains as possible, by training, staying focused, being as focused. But I get it. Look, one of the analogies I've used on other shows, when we I reference a sports car. So take your standard car, your ma and pa car, the one they take the kids to the mall in, and take that down to the tuners and put a turbo in and put the best oils in and upgrade the brakes. Take stuff off the car and make the car lighter, replace it with carbon fiber. Please tell me that that car is not going to go faster, feel more efficient, and so on and so forth. It's the same fucking car that it was before, but things have been done to that car to make it perform better. There's an element of here, Steve, that the car, in this case, your body, does feel more purposeful. And I think there's also an element of, and this is just whether you're focused on training without PEDs, but focused on training with PEDs, that literally you could argue, okay, so I was up to 250-pound bench pre-cycle, but I would go and have a beer at the weekends with the guys, just a couple. I would maybe get a takeout once a week, but now I've dropped $1,000 and I've got their testosterone in my system. If I get out of bed in the morning, everything I'm going to do for the next 18 hours, 16, 17 hours, whatever the fuck it is, I'm out of bed before I go back to sleep, must be focused on getting me stronger, getting me more muscular. So perhaps that's what he's referring to. I suspect it's more the sensation on and a kind of almost self-awareness that's come from an advanced testosterone level. Now, whether that's better is a different kind of argument, because if it's better, then you've got the issue that we sometimes see, which is blasting and cruising, because they feel this so nicely, so intensely on cycle that they get, and especially when you're 23, Steve, not wanting to not feel like that when you're not on cycle. His next comment, I'll jump on this right now, Steve, and then bring you back in. I get raw pleasure from using DHTs. And you and I talked about DHTs yesterday. Now, one of the aspects of using DHTs, dihydrotestosterone derivatives and steroids, is the masculinization. So talk about that, Steve, that sort of the hairy face, the thicker, hairier chest, the quote-unquote more manly features, etc., that maybe comes from that.
Yeah, as Monster mentioned, prior episode we recorded is called Underground Number 45, where we go in-depth, talk about DHT derivative steroids. And certain steroids like Masteron, Previrin, even Winstrol, they can have an effect on how you feel if you are sensitive to DHTs. With many of them, a lot of guys will report they get a boost in erections and they get a boost in libido beyond anything they have experienced just by adding these DHTs to their steroids. But you got to keep in mind, as I said in the last segment, this doesn't happen to everyone, and it may change over time where your body adjusts and changes where it doesn't affect you. So with me, DHTs don't have that effect on me. With me, more androgenic steroids have that effect on me. But you may be both. You may be sensitive to DHTs and androgenic steroids, or you may be just more sensitive to DHTs where you add Masteron or you add Previrin to every cycle, and it makes things get. So what he means by raw pleasure, I'm assuming maybe he's talking about the way he feels in the bedroom. I'm not really sure, but if that's the case, that's probably what's happening, is that he's getting much better erections in the bedroom, he's getting much better libido in the bedroom, and he's getting more raw pleasure. That's what I'm assuming I'm feeling. Now, another thing he could be feeling too, Mobster, is the pumps. Because a lot of these DHT steroids, the Winstrols, the Anavars of the world, they give you really unique and intense pumps. So when you're in the gym and you're doing drop sets, or you're doing high repetitions and high volume, you'll end up feeling this amazing feeling and walking out of the gym feeling this like $1 million. So that may be also what he's referring to. But yeah, absolutely. So if you're going to use, when you use your pharmacies, you may want to look at adding some Masteron or adding some Previrin or adding some Anavar or Winstrol to your cycle to get that raw pleasure that's going to be in there. So that would be something you could look into. Anything you want to add before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll expand on the comment I made before, which is one of the threads that we associated the previous podcast with. The member in question specifically was looking for more hair on their chin. You and I actually talked about people wanting what they haven't got. For example, Steve, and we'll touch upon the pumps, which we're really going to talk about that more tomorrow in part two. But how, the VAR pumps or the Depop pumps, VAR pump, especially is the DHT. So he was looking for a more manly jaw and more hair on his face. And I suspect he kind of sort of, it's one of those self-aware things. You and I might not even see it. But when he looked in the mirror, the particular person in question, he saw a soft, downy fur on his face, perhaps not as much, didn't have to shave, perhaps he shaved once a week, where I've known people that have had to shave in the morning and then again at night. And as I said, you and I actually said on that show, when you've got it and you don't want it, it's a pain in the ass. But when you haven't got it, you want it. And that's also a pain in the ass. So there might be that aspect of it. Like I said, the idea that, you know, you've got a hairy chest and a hairy face and you have to shave more often and perhaps just enjoying that. And again, perhaps that slightly feeling a certain reward from just being a bloke. You know, a manly man, and just enjoying it. So that might be part of the raw pleasure. Something he talks about here, Steve, I actually going to argue slightly differently. You might feel differently about this one. We'll see. Trend makes me into an alpha male who just wants to kick in heads. Now, I think part of that, when we talk about powerful PEDs and specifically Trend, I've actually said that the slight toxicity that one feels sometimes, part of the side effects of Trend, might be making you a little bit more irritable. We also know, and I've actually addressed this by referring to, I think, one or two particular studies that looked at this. They looked, I think it was 50 or 60-year-old men with medical conditions that were being treated with Trend, and in mild dosages, of course. And they actually noticed that the Trend made them have dementia-like effects. It was the one, I think there might be two steroids that specifically had effects on the mental outlook of the individual that was being given his medical dose. Basically saying, if you do they give them the medical condition, you gave them low-dose Trend, and then you asked them to fill out a survey, their responses were slightly different on Trend in terms of perhaps being more aggressive or more assertive or more negative or whatever versus when they weren't using the Trend, they were being given another medication. So we know that certain people on Trend get sweaty, get irritable. I don't like it. I've used it very briefly and I can sense that potent drug doing what it needed to be done. But it wasn't a pleasurable thing for me. Now, I can imagine, especially if you're 23 years of age, Steve, being ever so slightly irritable might make you more likely to, quote-unquote, kick off or want to kick ass or whatever else. There's also a big element for the few people that I've seen that are violent or aggressive, and I'm thinking of people in prison, in America, in the UK, and so on and so forth, when they've been psychologically profiled, as often as not, it's an inability to communicate when you're stressed and you can't find the words to help you get that stress out. Your physical response rather than emotional or verbal response, quite often you're looking at low IQs or illiterate. And as often as not, Steve, it's a violent background. So these are the people that are out there in society.
Are you putting down Body Monster right now?
That Body Monster, I think, look, no. And I'll tell you for why, because I like to josh about Body Monster. And I'll tell you for why, right? And I think Body Monster is part caricature and part truth. He's been brought up in that atmosphere, in the wilds of Texas, with his Indian background.
Explain who Body Monster is,
and I love him, really. Because Body Monster is one of the members on the forum and has experienced prison. And so he thinks every cycle should include Trend, because Trend is God, Trend is gold. We've seen it elsewhere. And also he'll say, for example, you're real strong or you're bigger than me, but if you're in prison, I'd make you my bitch. I'd have to shank you to let you know who's boss. So, and this is like all the fucking time. Someone actually got upset yesterday, Steve, one of the Australian members, and I said, you do not ever take Body Monster seriously. In real life, who the fuck knows? He might well be exactly as he is, in which case, let's not have him as our next door neighbor. Let's just see him once a month for a beer. Be great, probably for a few days. But one of the things he said is kind of funny. That if we went out drinking, I think you, I, and him went out drinking, we'd almost certainly get arrested at some point. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a good evening to me. I want to go onto my bed slightly drunk and with a full belly from the steak we've been eating. I don't want to get arrested and consider that a bonus. So, like I said, it's an exaggeration. We've got all kinds of members. But, yeah, I mean, look, we know people that are on train. I've known, I've said this before, some of the world's strongest men I've competed against in grip competitions, I've been in the physical presence of, I've trained with, even given assistance in grip exercises to improve their grip for strongman. And I know that when they've taken train, they've sweated buckets. It's not good if you've got a higher percentage of body fat. And Body Monster are ironically quite lean. And again, it's one of those, if you like it, you're going to fucking love it. But if you don't like it, it can be a problematic PED to use. And so the idea, I don't want to be that kind of person. And maybe that's a sign of my maturity as well, Steve. I don't mind the idea of being capable, i.e. if I get into a fight that I can look after, bring your mates, etc. But in reality, I also know that if I have a fight now, my hands, my elbows, whatever the fuck I use to fight someone with, they're going to hurt for weeks. I'm not seven. I'm 60. Shit's going to hurt. I can't recover from fights that quickly. I might win. I might put you in hospital. But it will take me weeks to get over the fight. I really don't want to be doing that shit. So the idea that I would like to feel like I can walk around and want to feel like I'm going to kick people's heads in, have fights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, doesn't really appeal to me. Don't make the mistake of thinking that's not me aggressive or not assertive or whatever else, because people certainly seem to respond to me in that way. But it's not something that I would like. I don't want to feel irritated. I don't want to feel like I'm going to be aggressive with people. If I put my aggression, my irritation, whatever the fuck stresses in life, it makes me productive, and especially makes me productive in the gym. Go down there, put the rage into an exercise, put my aggression into an exercise, feel good because I've done the exercise, get the endorphins, feel like I've anchored the day in the gym, etc. Do I want to fight people on the way home? No. Do I want to be able to defend myself? Yes, yeah, sure. But the idea that I'd want to feel like I'm going to walk around kicking in heads or want to feel like I'm going to a fight or go to a pub or a club or a bar or whatever and feel that aggressive? No. And is that appealing to me as a person or perhaps to women if I was still out in the dating scene in that way? No. What do you think about that, Steve? Do you want to feel like that?
Well, so with Tren, well, I can tell you, you know, when I've used Tren, I used it quite heavily back in my early to mid-30s. And Tren is one of those, when you start using it the first few weeks, you're like, wow, this shit's awesome. This stuff's amazing. And then by the end of the cycle, once you get to week 6, week 7, week 8, you're like, man, I'm so sick of this shit. I can't wait to come off. And you come off and it's still in your system for a week or two. And you're like, man, I can't wait till this shit's out of my system. I'm just sick of it. So it's one of those things. The reason this guy says this is because, look, nothing is better than Trenbolone when it comes to feeling alpha. It's the androgenic effects. And on paper, it's both 5 times more anabolic and 5 times more androgenic than straight testosterone. So yes, you're going to feel that way. And a lot of people, they get very aggro on Tren. They want to fight. They get a short temper. I can remember the first time I used Tren, I was on a restaurant on a date. And I got really short with the waitress that forgot to bring me my fajitas on time. It's like she brung me out everything, and she bring me out. I was at a Mexican restaurant. She didn't bring me out my fajitas. I was like, man, because you get hangry on it. You get hangry. And that's one of the things I recommend is always spreading out your carbs on Tren. So, you know, one of the things we want to watch out for in life is it can be one mistake, one bad day can ruin your life. So if you want to go fight people and you want to do that type of thing, you better make sure you get a good lawyer that's going to, you know, get you out of your situation. Because in some states in America, if you get in a fight and you hurt the other person, not only are you going to go to jail or prison, but you're also going to have to deal with a civil suit. And people will sue you and get your shit. They'll get your car. They'll get money that you have. They'll get your possessions. And there's all kinds of things that can happen. And let's say you get a judgment against you for like $1 million. There's insane amounts of judgments that people will get. They'd rather have your money. I know someone who got in a fight and they ended up in the hospital and they sued them and they got a lot of money from them. But the people, they didn't pay them a penny. But here's the thing, they will garnish your wages. So what the person has to do the rest of their life is literally do what O.J. Simpson did, is just keep the money under the table so that no one knows, they're making money. And that's hard to do because they will find it. The lawyers will come and find that. Tax attorneys, they'll come and find your money somehow, and they'll want a piece of your money. So you don't want to go through life, being ruining your life over something. So if you're going to use Trend, you don't want to be going around kicking in heads. You want to just always walk away. Just start training yourself. I'm going to walk away from a confrontation. It's not worth it. It's not worth going to jail and ruining your life over. And at the end of the day, with Trend, your pharmacy has excellent Trend options. Very clean Trend. You can use their Ace. You can use their E. They have Hex. They have Trend blends. So if you want to use Trend, try it. Don't run very much of it for your first time. See how you react to it. And look, at the end of the day, if you can't handle it, as Mobster said, then use something else. It's that simple. So next one is, men get intimidated when I walk into a room or party. So, Mobster, you have some thoughts on this, so why don't you start us off?
Yeah, look, I think there's a sort of self-awareness, perhaps. Steve's shorter than I am. I'm quite tall. And Steve is certainly more muscular looking than I am. And certainly in the past, ripped stomach, et cetera, Steve would be way more comfortable than me walking down a beach and showing what the fuck he's got in terms of that physical stuff. But I have the advantage of height, which is just a thing. The way has nothing to do with me, blame my parents. But I also weigh well in excess of 300 pounds. And as long as a sense of awareness, and I think this possibly applies more when you're younger than it does when you're older. I'm not always, and let me think, I'll give you a great example. I was going to say, I'm not always aware of the effect that I might have in certain situations when a 300 pound plus 6 foot 3 inches tall, certainly was the last time I checked, walks into any kind of situation. So let me give you an example. With the girlfriend in Porth, one valley over from where we are, shopping in Lidl's, and her being a woman, it's 5 minutes to get out of the fucking car. She's the driver. I don't drive. Get the bag sorted, make sure her purse is in her pocket, make sure she's got her shopping bags. Whereas I'm out of the car. I've already got my dollar, my pound in the trolley, and I'm halfway down the first fucking aisle before she's even got as far as the door because she's doing other bits and pieces. And of course, she just stopped driving. I'm the passenger. I was probably ready 5 minutes before we got there. And she once mentioned something to me that perhaps this is what this person's talking about. I needed to get some milk, Steve. And the milk's at the end of the first aisle. And I was literally marching along with my trolley, putting a couple of bits, some sandwiches and shit into it or whatever, and looking for where the milk was. And I had a sort of that purposeful, right, where's the milk? Let's get this done, kind of vibe going on. And she said, if I had got my phone out and filmed it, I could have showed you people our age, middle age, Steve, 50, 60 years of age, all the same people that are shopping at 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, looking over their shoulder. As I marched along, I'm not pushing people out of the way. I'm not trying to be aggressive. I'm just marching along at 300 plus, 6 foot tall, and people were responding. I didn't see it. I'm literally ahead of where they're looking. They're looking over their shoulders as if to say, Jesus fucking Christ, you wouldn't want to come down a dark alley with him or, move out the way. The big fella's coming through. And I've even had, it's weird, gone to bars and clubs. When I was probably 270, 280, never mind 300 plus as I am now, and had younger guys, hi, big man, how are you? Do you train? All that kind of stuff. So there was definitely a certain thing going on. But I've got to be honest, Steve, I think perhaps as I was a young man, especially in my teens when I first started training, I'd have probably fucking loved that shit. I'd have probably got off on it. but been that young for a very long time. So the idea that people are sort of jumping out of my way or perceiving or responding to me in a certain particular way barely registers. I think I've been doing this shit so long, and I've been a certain size, which is bigger than the average person, taller than the average person, for such a long time, or in Steve's case, a muscular person for such a long time, that it is second nature to us. We are not any more aware of, because to us it's normal. What we see in the mirror is normal. It's our daily thing. If we transformed in some way, you and I, Steve, if we put on 20 pounds, walking around with a chest out, with a tight T-shirt on, seeing if women are looking. And let me give you one more example. And this is, ironically, I was dating someone else many, many years ago. And we were walking to town, and she was an attractive, buxom blonde. It has to be said, we're in a lovely dress, Steve, but we're walking to town because we're going to drink, we're going to eat when we get there, we're enjoying a warm evening. And she was way more aware than I was that what we look like as a couple walking down the street. Me, I'm just aiming for the pub to have something to eat, to have a drink, and to enjoy her company. What I'm not doing is seeing how people saw us as a couple, tall slash muscular, strong, with buxom blonde walking down the street. Both of us in the wrong side of 40, probably 50 years of age, but she was aware of it, I was not. So I can imagine, especially if you're 23 years of age, and you're kind of new to this with the DHTs and the train and God knows what else, that the idea that people respond to you in a particular way, again, and this is possibly because it's my normal, because it's Steve's normal, the idea of being the wrong side of 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age and noticing that people are intimidated by you, that's not really my vibe. When I go to the gym, I don't want people to be scared of me. Perhaps what the fuck is he doing with those huge amount of weights on the bar? That's lovely. I'm perfectly fine with that. But I also want you to be able to come and say hi, ask me about my training, let me give you advice, talk about nutrition. What I don't want is for you to be intimidated. I've done voluntary youth work. I'd be the wrong side of 300 pounds when I was doing that. And the kids were certainly not intimidated by me because they knew that I was hopefully a nice guy. And I think it's very much one of those, once you get to know me, you understand that I'm not that aggressive, whatever, because I don't fucking need to be. Maybe being big and muscular and strong enables me to be, and you for that matter, Steve, so confident in ourselves, so comfortable in our own skins that we don't feel the need to be intimidating. The only time I want to be intimidating is if someone wants to fight or someone wants to kick ass. And I don't want them to pause for a fucking second, look me up and down and think you're going to be too much like hard work. That's great. Then I haven't got to fight you. But the idea that I could walk into a bar, a club or a party and all the men in the room are sizing me up and sort of registering me in some way on a scale of 1 to 10 as to if it fights, do I run away or do I hit it? That doesn't appeal to me anymore. So again, you know, I want to chill. I want to sit down. I want to relax. I don't want to be worried about fighting people. And I'm not going out of my way to be scary or whatever else. My grandkids will probably tell you that I'm not scary when they see me. My daughter, certainly so. My mum, bless her, is 80 years of age, still thinks she can give me a fig. I'd have to stand still, put her on a fucking chair, but she still says that, you know, you're not too big for a figure. So the idea that I'm somehow intimidating, it's not on my radar. And of course, Steve, you and I can't help how we're perceived by other people. It's their problem, not our problem. So I don't know. Would it appeal to you in that particular way, Steve? Do you feel the need in most situations to be intimidating, especially to men?
Not at all, man. Not at all. It's quite the opposite. I'm the person, I don't want to be noticed. It's one of the reasons we do this podcast.
Let me say this for Steve's as well, Steve. On the forum, you're way calmer and way more able to sort situations out, whereas I can be quite direct.
Yeah.
So you're actually more likely to placate people than to be the person on there making the situation worse.
And what I was saying is, this is why we do this podcast. We're not on video. We're on audio. Some people, you know, it's some people want to be video. I'm completely okay with us doing audio, but a lot of people want to do video. You get a lot more views when you do video. You'd also get a lot more attention from doing video. From, you know, you get people in person seeing you, running into you in, you know, in the grocery store, in the gym, whatever, be like, oh yeah, that's, yeah, hey Steve, what's up? I love your podcast. You know, I don't want that attention. I've never been interested in that. People don't grasp that about me. And one of the things too, I think when someone says something like this, I want men to get intimidated when I walk into a room or party, or I'm feeling that men are getting intimidated when I walk into a room or party. You know, I think that's a lot of that is in the person's head, and worrying about what people think of you when you walk in a place, that's like church group gossip that old ladies do, you know, like in the church, like, you know, if someone shows up and they're a new person in the church and everybody's talking, who's that person? You know, who are they related to, where are they from, like, you know, all this stuff, you know, and it's the same thing. And I assure you, unless you look like Arnold or you look like Ronnie Coleman, okay, and you have like, you're showing off your muscles, you're wearing like a short shirt or something where people can actually see your muscles, no one cares that you're muscular. Like, nobody cares. Everybody has different shapes and sizes. Like, you can go to the grocery store, you go to the Target or the Walmart and walk around, and you'll see people with all kinds of different physiques. Maybe Walmart's a bad idea because, you know, Walmart, a lot of people who shop at Walmart are like obese. But like, if you go to a normal retail place or the mall or something, you'll see like all kinds of shapes and sizes, fat, skinny, muscular, like not muscular, tall, short, you know, blonde, brunette. So it doesn't really matter. We all look different. I guarantee you, your dog or your cat doesn't look at a person and is like, wow, that person's fat, or ah, that person's skinny, or that person has blonde hair, or that person's muscular. I guarantee you, they don't give a shit. They're more worried about that person's character and the signals that they're giving them. And animals are very good at picking up on that, whether someone's a good person or a bad person. So Mobster's case, he's 300 pounds, probably the strongest dude in the world, one of the top strongest dudes in the world, top 0.1% strongest dudes in the world. You can look at his log, and he shows that every day when he posts updates, amount of weight he's doing. But like, I guarantee you, a dog, when he comes over to your house, the dog's gonna run up to him and jump on him and lay in his lap, because the dog's gonna be like, wow, this guy has a good heart. He, you know, and he's a big teddy bear.
Let
But,
me give
you know.
you an example of that, Steve. Just as dog reference, and Steve and I are both cat lovers, as Steve knows. And so, Steve feeds the local strays. I've taken strays in. This is a dog reference. So, one of my neighbors, Toby, has a some sort of pit bull type dog cross, something like that. I have no idea what it is. It looks like a pit bull. I don't think it is. And this particular dog's called Rambo. Of all things, as you, no, Rocky. I tell her like Rocky. Very nice looking dog. And to begin with, when Toby moved here, Rocky would bark at everybody, and I think this was kind of a learned response. And the first couple of times I was saying hi to Toby, Rocky was barking at me. And I, why are you barking at me, Rocky? Why? Why? And let it sniff my hand and stroke him. Rocky doesn't bark at me anymore because he's realised it's a waste of fucking time, and will still bark at the small dogs, but again, it's a learned response. Rocky's realized that barking at me is fucking pointless. I'm not intimidated by you, Rocky. In fact, you're a nice dog, really, aren't you? And give him a stroke. It's kind of weird in that situation. Sometimes, and I'm used, Steve and I talked about cats and dogs, but what we're also talking about is we're indirectly talking about people's human response, right? So, human response, this is the biology stuff and nature that Steve and I are talking about. We talk about the primitive man running around in Serengeti in Africa, looking for food, hunting, and fucking keep the population of the world alive, and so on and so forth. Right. So the primitive man, and some tribes even now, Stephen, arguably the way that we dress as modern human beings sometimes, was that if you looked aggressive, if you looked intimidated, the tribe that's coming to fight you would think less about fighting you, perhaps more about running away. It was more likely to, your women perhaps felt more protected because you looked intimidating, your neighbor didn't want to fight you or steal from you, and so on and so forth. In modern society, of course, especially in the first, perhaps even the second world, none of that shit matters. The idea that you and I, Stephen, again, this is part of that maturity shit. I like the idea of perhaps owning a big fuck off for me. I can't drive, so there's no point. But perhaps, you know, come the apocalypse, Steve, give me some massive off-roader, go anywhere type vehicle. But that's more about me getting about when there's no roads left. It's certainly not about me driving up and down the highway with huge chrome stacks on the back and flared arches and shit and trying to intimidate small cars to get the fuck out of the way. But we see this all the time. If I go to a club or a pub or wherever else, I'm normally there to meet people or I'm going with a date. And so the idea that I need to sort of march in and puff my chest there and respond in a particular way. It's the reason why people wear certain kinds of jewellery or certain brands of clothing and so on and so forth. Some of it is just literally to compensate for a certain insecurity. It might even be, and it doesn't have to be that all the time, it might even be you've worked your fucking ass off to be able to afford this shit, so God damn it, why shouldn't you wear it? Fine, fill your boots. I like the idea. This is the kind of vibe I'm into now, Steve. There are certain situations, and as Steve and I know from off-air chats, financially, I'm probably okay. And I'm because of the result of my brother passing away, I'm probably going to be even more than okay very soon. So the idea that I can go into a place and feel comfortable with just a pair of like $20 boots on, Steve, and $10 tracksuit bottoms, and a $5 fucking t-shirt, and in my head thinking, if I wanted to, I could buy every fucker in here a cocktail and still have shit. To me, that's a comfort thing. It's a certain level of confidence. I don't need to go in there and slap loads of money or Ferrari set of keys on the counter or measure my cock on the bar or whatever. Because I know, as Steve says, I'm in that 1% that Steve talks about. And that to me, that confidence is part, perhaps, Steve, part arguably, why some people get into training. That you start off with no confidence, then you use training to boost your confidence. And ironically, you get to a certain size and strength and muscularity and leanness and whatever else. And the thing that you thought was incredibly important to you, like being big and strong and shit, suddenly becomes less so. So it's kind of sort of self-fulfilling, really. But it doesn't go to the point where now that you're big and now that you're strong and now that you're muscular, I need the world to know about this shit and I need them to be intimidated. No, it's kind of weird. You get so comfortable. Let me give you another example, which is non-bodybuilding, non-weight training related. The best fighters in the world, Steve, on the fucking surface of this planet, doesn't matter what fighting sport you care to mention. Perhaps they started boxing or MMA or jujitsu or karate or whatever the fuck sport it was, with the idea of being able to protect themselves if they go into a fight. What happens when they get to become champion of the world or black belt third Dan or some sort of Olympic champion is that they are, for the most part, with very rare exception, almost never seen fighting outside the ring or the octagon or the square or the mat. They get so confident in what they do that their aggression is only in the cage or on the mat or in the ring or whatever. And they know that they can destroy you. They know that they can mess you up. They know that they could put you in a lock and have you crying for your mum to come and help in seconds. And that confidence just means they become super fucking comfortable in their own skin and they don't need to walk around with their chest out or being aggressive or making eye contact and holding men's eyes in the room and saying, motherfucker, I could fuck you up. You literally can think of Brock Lesnar and others. When you see the out of the ring, out of the cage type videos, some of these guys are the most fucking golden charity, Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of vibe, tearful and emotional when they're talking about helping people versus the levels of aggression that they show when they're actually fighting. So it's kind of funny for me that, you know, perhaps again with the 23-year-old, this might appeal to him right now, but arguably, I think if he gets a bit bigger, a bit stronger, a bit more muscular, what he thought was important in terms of intimidation. No, I mean, imagine, look, if he wants to go, let's go back to number one, Steve. I get more pussy than ever. Can you imagine if he was that fucking intimidating? Women would run the fuck away. He wouldn't get that much ass. It would actually be scary to women. So the reality is, you know, imagine when he... me and a buddy, my old business partner, joked, mind you, in a bank. We were depositing money, but we were the only two people in there. And I was 270, 280. My old business partner, Mike's very broad-shouldered. £230. And we joked about doing a robbery, and the woman behind the counter blanched. And we said, no, darling, we're just joking. We're not. She literally thought we was about to rob her because these two big muscular fuckers were in the bank joking about it. No. If you were that intimidating, you'd be getting into fights all the time. You'd be getting arrested. Police would be stopping you. Clubs, doormen wouldn't let you in. Bars would refuse to serve you, and so on and so forth. So while it feels, to begin with, perhaps appealing, in reality, that level of children wouldn't want to shake your hand. Dogs would run the fuck away. Steve and I would have no cats because cats wouldn't trust us. If we were truly as intimidating, what do our cats want, Steve? They want a cuddle. They want feeding. They want a stroke. They want to be able to sit down next to you and show you some affection. What they don't want is to be scared of you and starving and running the fuck away. And of course, we've got cats or dogs or pets or whatever for this non-intimidating type stuff. So it's kind of funny. Having grandchildren try to fight me, that kind of stuff. You know, I put a picture on Instagram the other day of my 6-year-old grandson trying to arm wrestle me, pretending to be beaten. Kids love that fucking shit. Can you imagine if I was that? You're not arm wrestling me, you little shit. I'll fuck you up. No, that's not a nice person. That's not the vibe you want to put out there. And why the fuck do you want to get big and muscular and strong and then be aggressive? You're just asking to get into trouble. So it might feel like a thing that you want when you're younger, but I would argue that the better you get, the less you feel that need to be. What do you think on that, Steve, before we talk about your pharma products?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like, it's really, you know, what are you trying to intimidate people over, though? It's just like, are you that living in fear where you feel like, oh, I gotta worry all the time about getting jumped. I gotta worry all the time about getting into fights. Like, where are you going? Are you going to biker bars where you have
Body Monster's actually given a good example, Steve, when he talks about being in prison. So we could even use that prison. Yes.
So with that mentality, you know, you're not going to be successful in life. Like walking around paranoid and being paranoid all the time and fighting everything and, oh, I gotta always have a weapon on me. I can't go for a walk. Look, you lost your freedom. If you really think you have to walk around, you can't even go to the beach, or you can't go to Disney World, or you can't go with your family anywhere without carrying a weapon with you, then you've already lost your freedom, and you've already lost in the first place. So it's the same thing. If you feel like, oh, I've got to have all this muscle and got be this big and be this strong because I got to protect myself because I'm always going to get jumped, then you just, you're fucked up. Like, you're just fucked up. It's like, you just might as well just walk into prison, knock on the door, be like, let me in prison, because this is going to be my mentality in life. The whole reason we do steroids is to better ourselves. And part of bettering ourselves is to be secure with ourselves and not always be thinking, well, I got to intimidate other people. I got to look a certain way to intimidate other people, because nobody gives a flying fuck. Someone will pull out a gun and shoot you in the fucking head if you fucking put your hands on them. So there's really no point of being intimidating in the first place. So yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. And I think it's just an immaturity thing for sure, Mobster. I agree with you on that. But let's talk about Europharmacies. And Europharmacies, look, they're a great brand. They're one of the top 3 brands in the world. All the best sources out there sell Europharmacies. You can come on the forum, find out where you can get Europharmacies. Their products are fantastic. All these steroids we talked about on this podcast, the DHT derivatives, the trenbolone, the testosterone, et cetera, all of them, orals, injectables, ancillaries, PCD products, anything you need, you can go and get from Europharmacies. They are a true one-stop shop, and they have excellent products that really do work great. They're one of my favorite brands that I use. Mobster, I think it's probably the brand you've used, maybe at least the top 3 brands you've used in your life. I know you
think highly of them. Probably my number. I've had, as you know, Steve, both of us have tried multiple brands, and we've had some great success with different brands. But for me, I use the analogy, the words I say, it's my daily go-to. They're my Tesco's, they're my Asda, they're my Walmart. I can get what I need. It's all done. They're great with customer service. They're really good with looking at where they can improve, whether that's product design, label design, the size of the vials, which is one thing they've done. They're even really, really good with their own staff in terms of time off and restocking. Their reps are arguably amongst the very best, if not the best, that we've seen on the forums. Customer service, as I say, when they've had issues, they've been on point. So for me, that makes them a standout. There are certain things about some of our approved sources that make them our approved sources, and customer service and quality of products and successful stacks and logs on the form is part of that. You can ask us about certain brands, some brands, I've never fucking heard of them, Steve. But why do certain brands come up again and again and again as being successful? Because they all have certain things about them, which is the same as the other companies that are successful. Europharmacies models that. They are a great example to other sources. And I'll finish by saying, Steve, as you referred to, there are companies that resell distribute Europharmacies products. And the reasons why Europharmacies is one of those products they distribute is because they know that the products they're sending out to their customers are top quality, that there are, if there are any issues with those products or with the customer, Europharmacies will deal with it quickly for them. And that they will keep this brand on their approved list, their list of companies that they deal with for the last 20-something years. Look, guys, we're going to do a part two to this show. Let us know your thoughts. Do these thoughts echo some of the reasons why you're using steroids? Do you feel that's the reason perhaps why you started? Have you changed your mind? What do you think about our comments and the way that we've responded to it? We're slightly older than our demographics team. So our demographics are a little bit younger than you and I, and they may will feel or echo some of the sentiments that we've put on the show today when we talked about this 23-year-old user. Is that how steroids make you feel? We're definitely interested in hearing your thoughts on that. Please note, we are not doctors and the opinions are ours. It's our view and based on our experiences and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech in the First Amendment.